You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Joshua Live. I'm Gary Temple Bodley. On today's episode, Joshua talks about our inspired path. So our inspired path is this path that leads us to more and more self-discovery. When we're on that inspired path, everything's working out. We're seeing everything from the higher perspective. We're in alignment. And as a side effect of living on that inspired path, everything you want starts coming to you. So your birthright is true abundance and true freedom, not limitation and lack. And so when you're on that inspired path, you're getting all the money that you need to go on that path and all the freedom you need and all the helpful people and all these things you think you want will manifest on their own as long as you're on that inspired path. When you're off your inspired path, you're going to face manifestation events that point out limiting beliefs. You're going to be exploring the inauthentic version of you, trying to control situations and people and stuff like that. And so when things aren't really going well, it's not that you're not doing well. It's just that you're not on that inspired path. You're not really letting go of all the things you think you need or lack and giving way to your interests and passions and the things that are popping up in the moment and all that stuff. Well, Joshua does a much better job of explaining this here, so I think you'll really enjoy this episode. Before we start, I'd like to remind you to like this episode and share it with your friends on Facebook, put in comments, leave reviews. That's really helpful, and make sure you subscribe to it. We have an event coming up in October. It's called the Changing Leaves, Changing Lives events. This will be our third event. It's amazing. It's here at the Joshua House in Newton, North Carolina. And it's right when the leaves are falling. And so there'll be a bunch of people all over the world getting together. And we'll cook and we'll do Joshua Live and meditations and breathing sessions and all kinds of stuff going on. The most fun of it, though, is mingling with like-minded people who have been following Joshua for a while and seeing how everyone is being. It's really inspiring when you're in that group. And it's so much fun when everyone's like that on the same page having a good time. So hopefully you'll think about that. And if you'd like more information, send me an email to garybodley@gmail.com. We're right now in our third groups going through the Ascension Experience. The next one is going to start at the end of August. If you'd like information about that, it's an amazing experience. Each section is 4 weeks long. And the first one's called Alignment. This is the basic one. This one 4-week course will radically change how you perceive your life. And so I hope that at least you'll send me an email and I'll send you the information and you'll see if it's right for you or not. Plus, all the courses are 100% guaranteed. So again, my email is garybodley@gmail.com. So enjoy the show and we'll see you on the backside. We are thrilled to be here.
Welcome. Hi, Joshua.
So we'd like to talk to you about this journey of self-discovery that we've always been talking about, and we were going to go into a little more depth here. And we want you to know that this journey of self-discovery is what you intended prior to your birth, and this is why you're here. This is why you're listening now, whether you're live in this call or listening at a later date. This journey of self-discovery, well, this is a journey from the illusion into the truth of who you are. And you've been on this journey in all your previous lives and in this life, and you're coming to the culmination on the precipice of understanding who you truly are. As you are moving on this journey, which we call your inspired path, when you're acting on inspiration, when you're looking at everything from the higher perspective, when you're in alignment more of the time, when you're more sensitive to those times when you're out of alignment or facing manifestation events, when you look for the information in the manifestation events, when you're on this journey of self-discovery, everything that you truly want, everything that you truly want will come to you as a byproduct of your journey of self-discovery. So as long as you're on that journey of self-discovery, you are on a journey towards true abundance, deliberate creation, everything you think you want, everything you truly want, everything that matches that journey. As long as it's part of that journey and as long as it resonates with who you truly are, it aligns with who you truly are. True abundance, true freedom, true prosperity, true clarity, more alignment, richer experiences, more fun, more love, more adventure, more excitement, more new things, more new people, more new experiences. All of that is what's available to you on your journey of self-discovery. And everything you do not want, everything that is struggle and effort and limitation and lack, all the things that you do not want are not necessarily a part of who you truly are, will fall away. They become unnecessary. The only reason the unwanted pops up in your life is so that you can examine it. Why do you think this is wrong? Why do you think it's bad? Why do you think it's imperfect? Why do you think it needs to be improved? Why do you think, from your limited perspective, that anything should change at all? Well, it need not change because everything is perfect in the moment. Everything is working out for you. Everything that you need is coming to you. So when you switch your approach to life from that of the victim to that of the creator, when you change your perspective from limited to empowering, you will see how everything comes to you. You will see that you have everything you need. You will know that everything is working out. You'll have faith, you'll have confidence, and you'll have more and more and more clarity as you expand to higher vibrational versions of you, just as you intended prior to your birth. This is the inspired journey of self-discovery. This is why you're here now. You're all at the leading edge of this journey. You're all coming to understand more and more about who you truly are. And eventually, each and every one of you will have this awakening experience where you absolutely realize that you're the creator of your reality. When that time comes, you'll have this instant aha moment. And from there, you will want more. And so you'll continue your journey of self-discovery. And it is a never-ending journey. But what we want to express to you here is that you've been living in this illusion of physical reality for so long, perceiving yourself from a limited perspective as the victim to outside circumstances that can affect how you feel. Well, now we want you to realize that all of your feelings are your choice, your choice of perspective. And so if you think something's wrong, if you're feeling bad, you're choosing a limited perspective. Well, you need not choose a limited perspective anymore. You can always access a higher perspective. And that higher perspective is always given to you from your inner self. But of course, if you're dipped down, out of alignment, in the stream of consciousness of fear, you're going to receive a lot of thoughts and a lot of urges to change the conditions, all based in fear. From that stream of consciousness where you do not need to linger, you don't really have access to the inner wisdom of your inner self. That wisdom is always available to you, but in alignment. In alignment, it's a lot easier to hear the wisdom. It's a lot easier to have faith that the messages coming through you and to you are for you. And when you realize you no longer have to look to other people for direction, you no longer have to ask them what you should be doing or how you should be behaving or what's proper for you to be interested in. All of those things are only found within, and they are unique to you. They are not part of anyone else's journey. These are part of your unique journey, your unique personality and body and family history and likes and dislikes and passions and interests. And so if you can understand that your passions and interests are found in alignment, when you realize that you're receiving inspiration to do something, you can know that that is part of your journey of self-discovery. And along that way are all of your passions and interests. And so if you're interested about something like these teachings or music or business or acting or some career, whatever it is, it doesn't need to have anyone else's approval because no one else can understand what your journey is and you cannot understand anyone else's journey. Your journey is unique to you, and you have to take responsibility for that journey. Are you acting on inspiration? Are you receiving inspiration? Are you realizing that you're getting guidance? Are you understanding that sometimes when you feel doubt and worry, well, that's because you're moving from a lower vibrational version of you to an expanded version, and you'll always have that doubt. That doubt will never, ever go away. It'll be lessened in intensity, but it'll still pop up because there's a difference between the current version of you and the expanded version of you. And the only way to reach that expanded version of you is to take some action in the moment. Now, the action, while fear will be present, will always be satisfying and enjoying and exciting and exhilarating. It'll always be much easier than you think it would. You will have doubts about the difficulty of manifesting what you think you want, and you might go off on a tangent and try and explore this version of you that seems to perceive there's lack of money or lack of love or lack of health or lack of whatever it is. And you can spend all the time you want exploring that illusion of lack. And eventually you'll come back to a realization that you never had to do that. You never had to suffer or be discontent with anything that you choose to do. You may have been choosing things in the past that were what society thinks is valuable or what your parents thought you should be doing, but they didn't resonate with who you truly are. And now we want you to turn your attention to your interests and your passions and dive deeply into those things without any fear of rejection or any fear of failure or any fear of loss. That cannot happen. Those are all illusions. It's all part of the illusion. Rejection, loss, and even death is all part of the illusion. It's there for a reason. Are you courageous enough to push past the fear of those things to do what you're inspired to do or not? If you are, you're ready for expansion. If you're not, you still need a little time exploring who you're not. But you've all done this enough now in your life and in past lives, and so you are ready to make a choice to move towards what you prefer, what you desire, what you're passionate about, what you're interested in. That's the reason you got here. You acted on enough information to be on this call now or listen to this call at a later date. This is proof that your inspiration is leading you to everything you want. When you doubt that, you will succumb to the fear. When you need to believe there's some outcome going to happen that is specific, you will judge what is happening compared to this outcome you think is going to happen, and you will have some more doubts. Give all of that up. Just do the action in the moment. Just do the thing that you can do in that moment, and we promise you everything will work out. This is your journey of self-discovery. This is how this journey works. It's not based in the illusion. It's based in the truth. Think about the truth of all this. It's all based in love. That's who you are. The more love you express by having faith that doing what you're inspired to do will work out, then it will lead to everything you truly want and everything that is within your birthright, such as financial prosperity, freedom, health, wonderful relationships, and all of that. That will be the natural byproduct of your continued journey of self-discovery. And with that, we'd like to talk to you about anything you'd like to talk about. Who'd like to start?
I have a question.
Yes, Reshna.
Last week, Jeff Bezos went to outer space in his rocket, and I found it to be really inspiring and thrilling. Amazing. What courage for him to go out there. But then on Facebook, there's all these negative comments about him, like, who cares? He's a billionaire. We don't care about him. Who cares? And I didn't understand why there was so much negativity towards a man who's done something quite courageous. And why was I seeing all these negative messages?
Well, let's talk about this idea of absolute abundance and freedom. There are examples of those who have done what they're inspired to do, and the byproduct was amazing abundance and amazing freedom. With amazing abundance and amazing freedom, you now perceive yourself in a less limited way. And so you'll be receptive to inspiration. So in the case of Jeff Bezos, he was receptive to the inspiration to start a company that goes into space, and then to think about how wonderful and exciting it'd be for him to go into space and bring his friends and sell tickets to other people who'd like to go to space. And you see a lot of people doing this. It's all starting to happen all at the same time. As they've let go of their limitations, now literally the sky is the limit. Beyond the sky is the limit. They can feel limitless. They can understand that why couldn't they have be and do anything they could imagine? And so they do these things they imagine. And of course, there's always the fear that's out there on those who are having their limiting beliefs triggered by these people who are appearing to be limitless compared to them. So when a person who feels like a victim, who feels like they don't have freedom or abundance, looks at those who are breaking out of that illusion and are doing these amazing things as examples to others, well, there'd be some of those who are having their limiting beliefs triggered. And so they'll receive urges to try to change the conditions. Well, what can they do? What conditions could they possibly choose? All they can do is go on Facebook, go on Twitter, complain to their neighbors. That's all the power that they have to change their conditions. Instead of coming into alignment and saying, if he can do it, I can do it. If she can do it, I can do it. Why can't I do it? I certainly could do it. Well, they can do it if they're willing to push past the same fears that the others are pushing past. And that's all this is. You have a set of limiting beliefs. Those limiting beliefs are false. You can prove them false. You can find evidence that proves them false. You can get into alignment. You can see yourself as worthy and good and abundant and free. And you can say, in alignment, I'm getting these new thoughts, these new ideas that match up with my new version of myself, my new idea of myself, my new approach to life, where I am the creator of this reality. Why couldn't I do this thing I'm inspired to do? Well, of course I can. But then again, there will be those who will want to hold on to the illusion, will want to say, well, I can't do it because I was born to this family, or I didn't have this good idea, or I didn't have this education, or there's some reason that prevents me from living the life that I truly desire. And when I see other people living that life, well, I have to somehow find fault in them. I have to say that the rich are no good, they're greedy, that the healthy people are just got lucky in their bodies, that people in relationships just got lucky in finding the right person. They have to come up with excuses why they cannot achieve these things they desire. And the truth is, the only truth is, those people are living in fear, believing in the illusion, and living the old approach to life. If they would look at their belief system from a higher perspective, from the truth of it is, beliefs are neither true nor false. Now, people living in fear believe their beliefs are true and false. They are not true or false. They are either limiting or empowering. If they're limiting, you can process those limiting beliefs as you know. If they're empowering, you can raise the intensity of those limiting beliefs. All the things that are available to everyone living on planet Earth right now are miracles created by desires of their forefathers. And they're not appreciating what they do have, the limitless lives they have. They are only focused on the limitation. Now, that doesn't make sense, does it? That is an illusion. If they can pay attention or even watch live as someone is traveling into space, well, that wasn't available to people 100 years ago. It's available to them. And why wouldn't this be something of great inspiration? Well, to many people it is. And this is the reason that those people are doing those wonderful things. And this is the reason you're here now, because you will be doing wonderful things too. Things that are completely different to what you would have done 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And the people in your life will notice it. They will notice the change in you. And some may have their limiting beliefs triggered, and they may feel fear and they may want to change you, but others will be inspired by you. So just as those who are rocketing off into space or building fortunes or living these dream lives can be inspiration to others, you, through your alignment, will also be inspiration to others. And those who can't find the inspiration of that are just not ready. And so they'll live a couple more lives until they do get ready. But you are all leading the way, and they are all leading the way to limitlessness. And this is what's available to all humans at this time.
I thought maybe the fact that I saw so many of those negative messages, there was a message in it for me that I secretly harbor jealousy and resentment against Jeff Bezos, but I don't feel like that's true.
You notice those messages because you're in a higher vibration. Other people who saw those messages agreed. Yes, what a waste of money. What a waste of time. He could spend his money helping the poor or something. What he's doing is creating inspiration, and you see that. You are also seeing the people living in fear. The people living in fear will have urges to change the conditions. And those urges will say things like, he should spend his money differently. He should help me. He should help the poor. He should do these other things. Well, of course, being an inspiration is far more beneficial to those living in fear than giving them money, than showing them that the only way out of their situation is through the benevolence of others. That doesn't help them at all. That causes them to perceive themselves as victims. And you are seeing those people acting in fear, acting in ways that you, who are more and more and more in love and alignment, would not act. You're seeing the the big divide between you and those living in fear. And this is what caused your attention to it. 2 or 3 years ago, you would have said, yeah, it makes sense that these people are angry. Now, from your perspective, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Okay, so it's just evidence of my, whatchamacallit?
Of your ascension.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Excellent. Who's next?
I have a question. This is Letty. May I?
Hi, Letty.
Okay. So my question is this, Joshua. Is that possible that your human cell has desires, but your inner self actually has totally different desires and you are not aware about those things?
Absolutely. Most of your human desires are based in lack. I would like $20,000 because I don't have $20,000. I lack $20,000. If I had $20,000, then it would solve a lot of my problems. So my problems exist because I lack $20,000. Well, your inner self knows who you truly are. You're the creator of your reality. You don't see it yet. You're coming to see that, but you don't know what that is. And so you, like most humans, are basing all of your desires in lack. I want to be rich. I want to be healthy because I'm not healthy. I want to be in a relationship because I'm not in a relationship. If you're in a relationship, then you're not looking around to get into other relationships. You have what you want in this wonderful relationship that you have with a mate. You do not lack it. Therefore, you do not desire it outside of the relationship that you have. If you had $1 million, you would not want $1 million because you have $1 million. You might want another $1 million because you lack more, but you don't lack that $1 million. You see, so all of your man-made desires generally are based in lack. Your true desires are the intentions you set prior to your birth. Your true desires are to discover who you truly are, to express your love and acceptance, to live in true abundance and true freedom, not limitation or lack, and to explore something more specific in physical reality. As long as you're perceiving yourself as abundant and free and knowing that you have everything you need today to continue your journey of self-discovery, and as long as you're expressing your love and acceptance, then everything you need will come to you. Now, if you need $1 million to do whatever you need to do, then that must come. It is the basis of the system of physical reality. If you don't need it, it must not come because it would be a distraction, you see. And so just understand that you have everything you need. Now, you may not need a lot to do what you're doing, or you may need quite a lot to do what you're doing, but whatever you need will come. You just have to think about what it is that you're doing right now. If you find your passion in this life and you want to dive into that passion, well, you will get everything you need to dive as deeply as you will allow yourself to dive into that passion. And so if you are tepid about going into that passion and you're just dipping your foot in the water and you're playing around with it, well, then you won't get that much because you don't need it. If you are fully immersing yourself in that passion, then you will get everything you need, but not more than you need because you don't need more. It's just like air. You don't store up all the air. You have enough air to breathe. And so you just take a breath when you need it and know that more oxygen will be there whenever you need it. The same with food. You don't overeat worrying about if you'll have food tomorrow. You eat appropriately, knowing that you'll have food tomorrow and water and all these things. Well, the same is true of all your desires. So since your desires are very strong, based in lack, you can effort and struggle your way to manifest those desires. And if you effort and struggle your way, you're not going to have a lot of fun on that journey to the manifestation of your man-made desires. When that desire is manifested, it will never give you the feeling that you thought you would feel. And that whole journey to get there will be effort and struggle and not very fun. So it's not aligned with who you truly are. If, on the other hand, you are inspired to something just from a place of alignment without any attachment to the outcome, all the action steps along the way will be effortless, easy, fun, joyous, exhilarating, exciting, interesting. There may be obstacles there that will root out or expose limiting beliefs. And that's part of that journey. But It'll always be something that is perfect in the moment all the time. Now, that's quite a bit different than following the man-made desires and trying to manifest something on your own. Since the universe is actually creating the manifestation of all of your desires, all the work is in the universe's hand. All you're doing is becoming a vibrational match to it. And sometimes along the way to become a vibrational match to anything you want, which includes your pre-birth desires and your man-made desires, you'll have to change your vibration. And you change your vibration by processing your limiting beliefs and start to see everything as good and right rather than wrong or bad. That's how you raise your vibration. When you are fixated on problems, when you're looking at what's bad in your life, when you're looking outside of you around the world and saying, that should not happen, that should be different than it is, that's imperfect in some way, you are holding your vibration down. Because only through fear and limiting beliefs can you resonate at a low enough vibration to see something is wrong. From the higher vibration, you can't see anything is wrong. From the non-physical, where all the illusions removed and all the fear is gone and all the limiting beliefs stay behind in physical reality, you can't see anything is wrong. You don't hold a grudge. You don't worry. You live in the moment perfectly. And you can do that here in physical reality. So we say, just raise your vibration and everything will come to you that you desire in the most elegant manner you can possibly imagine. That could be financial prosperity. That will be physical health. That will be ease and joy, that will be feeling good, that will be clarity, that will be confidence. All those things that you truly want will come. And you will start to see that the perception of lack that you had in the past will start to fade away. You won't need extra money in the bank. You won't need all these things you think you need to make yourself feel secure. You'll understand that you're secure. You'll understand that you're abundant and free. And when you understand this, this is alignment. And in alignment, you will feel really, 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 really good. And that's what you, what all of you truly want.
Thank you.
Excellent. Who's next?
Okay, I'll jump in here.
Yes.
Your comment before about having all the air feels really good. I would say at this time, it feels like I'm needing a little more air and maybe I'm not used to needing that much. To say up front that I feel that I'm doing very well in handling the magnitude of the manifestation event. There is some uncomfortableness there, and it has to do with relationships. So very quickly, without getting into a lot of details, I got a very surprising email from my sister the other day who said that I'm never to see her or her family, be invited to any family events again, because without saying the particular word, she's making accusations that I'm a pedophile and I'm a danger to her children. I mean, this just comes like, what? But I handled it well. I think, okay, you're on a journey of your own and this is interesting and I'm not going to, you know, anyway, so that's there. And then recently in the last few days, there's been a lot of angry, vile, hatred, you know, people suggesting that I should die for my opinion about things, unfriending me, sending me messages and all that kind of, in mixing all that, there's some other people that are in agreement with what I'm
So let's saying. Say that.
So, but I can feel.
Let's say that. This. Let's stop you right there. Let's say that you have come to physical reality to mix things up, to think new thoughts, to find new ways to approach life, and to overcome basic fears. And let's imagine that the most basic fear that humans have always experienced is the fear of rejection. Now, in the past, as humans lived in tribes and in small villages and in small groups, the fear of rejection was a rational fear, meaning that if they rejected and cast out of the society, they would not survive. They could not survive. They would perish. And so they did whatever they had to do to stay within that group. They conformed to whatever the group thought, whatever the religion was, whatever the dogma was, whatever the rules were of that group. And so you're coming to a time now in 2021 where rejection doesn't mean what it used to mean. However, the fear is still there. It still feels like a rational fear. You want everyone to like you. You want people to love you. You want people to respect you. You want people to think you're good. You want to fit in with society. You want to have lots of friends. You want to have people agree with you and to see you as good and worthy. You want validation from the outside. Well, now you come to this point where you realize they cannot validate you. They cannot see who you truly are. If they saw who you truly were, they would kneel in front of you and profess their love to you everywhere you went. But they cannot see it. This is the illusion. You cannot see it in them either until you see it in you. So until you accept yourself for the creator of your reality, until you forgive yourself for anything that happened in the past, until you remove any guilt or any shame that maybe you brought with you in this life, maybe you adopted along the way, until you love yourself and accept yourself completely, you can't see who they are. But once you do see who they are, you will understand that this is your soul family, that it doesn't matter what's happening here in physical reality, that they are working through their fears as well, and that they are living in the illusion, living in the fear, and they're trying to protect themselves and their children from any possible form of danger. And that danger to them seems like it's pervasive everywhere. They are having to come to some new idea of their belief system, but yet they're holding on to these limitations. And so they're acting on urges. They're acting on urges to change the conditions, and you just happen to be one of many, 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 many things they want to control. Just one of many. And they don't care about how it affects you, because from their perspective, this limiting belief they have is true. And the only way to protect themselves from this fear is by changing the conditions and disassociating with you. Now, on your side of this, you are here to face this fear of rejection. You are here to stand in love while others reject you. You are inspired to do certain things, and certain people will be triggered by those actions. Certain people will be inspired by those actions, just like Jeff Bezos. Certain people are triggered by his actions, but he will do what he's going to do despite the rejection from other people. Now, in this case, it's your sister. Your sister, who means something to you, has come to reject you because you don't care anymore about the nameless, faceless people on the internet. You don't care anymore about it. That's not a big deal. You're coming to a new understanding. So now this limiting belief of rejection gets tested or exposed on another facet. This is someone more important. Let them go. Let them go. It doesn't matter. You'll see them again in the non-physical. You do not need these relationships of people who are in fear. This is just going to hold you down. You've probably had that manifestation event and had all kinds of urges to change the condition or control their response to you. You may have wanted to defend yourself or argue with
them. Actually, I'm very surprised. I'm actually very surprised. Those impulses were very small, and I did not. Excellent. I only wrote a letter back and said, your choice is what you want to do. There was one little part of the story that I said, I just want to correct that if we ever do talk about this in the future, that excellent. I said this, not that, and I just left it at that. And
very good.
And I have a lot of compassion because I can feel their pain. But I also feel it's not just one event. It seems to be just occurring and occurring and occurring.
Good.
And occurring.
It's multifaceted.
I'm handling it all, but I still feel this thing.
And that thing will be there until you come to love, accept, and appreciate yourself. When you come to understand that you created all this, you created the response from your sister, you created whatever actions led up to whatever responses, you created through inspiration most of the time. Maybe it was through an urge to change the condition or something like that in the past, but now these things are created through inspiration. So your inner self is giving you the inspiration to do these interesting things that you're doing that are triggering other people's limiting beliefs so that you can get a manifestation event that points out to this area of rejection that you are here to process in this lifetime. Many people are here to process that fear of rejection in this lifetime. And this is a very deep illusion in the human consciousness. As you process your fear of rejection, you make it easier for everyone else to process their fear of rejection. As you stand firm in your alignment, not being taken out of alignment for very long, when you are appearing to be rejected, you help all those. Now, we want you to understand, first of all, that the number one thing here is that they cannot see you. And when they return to non-physical and see you in the non-physical, they will just be completely surprised that that was you. And you will be completely surprised that that was them. And of course, all will be forgiven. It'll just be a game. You'll laugh about it. The second thing is that they have this lens of their perception of reality. They see reality differently than you see it. They cannot see what you see at all. They cannot know who you are. Their limiting beliefs are obscuring who you are, and they will project on you their fears. And since you are the one that they can control, other than the people who are out there that they don't know, they have to project it onto you. Now, that's a two-way street. How you react will shape their beliefs, their vibration, their connection to their inner self. If you react in fear, well, then their fears grow stronger, their limiting beliefs grow stronger. If you react in love, well, that is weird. That's different. They're not used to that. That's a completely different way of being. Think about that. They might still be in fear, but there's going to be something that lights them up in that. They may not trust this. They might not think it's real. But from you standing in alignment, you offer more potential for well-being and highest good for you and them as well. So this is breathing love into your reality. Once you breathe in love in that reality, realize that you have this limiting belief about rejection, which everyone else has as well, and that you're working to overcome that by accepting yourself as you are, then you make it easier for everyone else to follow in your footsteps. You become this example of alignment. You become this inspiring figure that maybe they can't see, but those here listening to this conversation will begin to see it as well. Excellent. Who's next?
Yeah, well, I'd like to ask you a little bit more. I mean, the herd thing that also is coming up, because as they specifically talk about, you're not going to be able to go in France and in Mexico and parts of it now to the grocery store, get on a bus, access the community center, anything without your vaccine. It's start the illusion of being broken out of the herd, and how are you going to survive becomes an actual real illusion. And I'm aware of that. I'm not too sure what if I actually have to go through and experience that and die, or you know, or I'm going to create my own reality. But it feels I really like the clarity thing that talked about being caught up in the illusion. So maybe you can say more about that.
So are you caught up in this illusion? Do you believe this is true? Have you ever had any experience of this?
At times.
No. You have? Tell us about this absolute experience that you've had of this, where you couldn't go to another country.
No,
you're saying
I can't
that
tell you that.
If you don't have a vaccine, then you can't get on the bus, you can't go to the community center, you can't go to another country, you can't do any things you want to do. Have you had any actual experience, you personally, in your life?
No.
Okay, so you're projecting other people's fears into your future that have not happened, will not happen, may never happen. And if they do happen, a solution for you, not for everyone else, a solution for you will come to you when you're in alignment. But don't let others... fear talk confine you. You are the creator of this reality. That's coming in to address other limiting beliefs.
Yeah, I've experienced that. I know exactly right. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Excellent.
Okay. Who's next?
I have a question, Gary.
Yes, Tammy.
Hi. I like to go out in nature, and sometimes I take my grandchildren, and they're afraid of ridiculous things like alligators and snakes and all this.
You're afraid of ridiculous things too.
Well, I know
their perspective.
But do they see these things when they're not real? So I'm saying, well, we're in nature, we're in a pond, and I'm, you know, I'm telling them to not be afraid. And I don't see any alligators or snakes. Do they?
You don't see all the things you are in fear of. They don't see all the things they're in fear of. What's the scariest thing to a child? The dark. Because they are imagining what's in that dark. As soon as the light's turned on and they have information that there is nothing dangerous in that dark room, then the fear is gone. So what's the fear? The fear is the imagination of wrong or bad. When you have the information, then you can't be in fear. So the fear is simply a lack of information, or the limiting belief that provokes the fear is a lack of information. Now, children might be afraid of the dark and they might want to sleep with the lights on in their room.
Right.
Because they don't have the information yet to fill that limiting belief, but they will have it. At some point, they'll sleep in the dark. They'll be fine. They won't have that fear. They'll say, well, I slept years with the light on. There's never been a problem. So let's turn the light off. It's more comfortable that way. Well, the same thing is true with every single thing you fear. Everything, single thing that a human fears is based in a limiting belief that is not true, is not real. And we're talking about everything. So we have separated this in the past by saying that there are rational fears, things where you could have bodily harm or death, and irrational fears where you couldn't, the fear could not lead to your death, such as the fear of talking to a new person, the fear of applying for a new job, the fear of taking a trip because you won't have enough money. Those things are irrational fears. Well, even death is an irrational fear because you cannot die. It's not possible. You just transition from the physical to the non-physical, from life to life. No one has ever had a death experience. They've had a transition experience, but never a death experience. There is no death. And even if there was a death, you would not even have that experience. You would just go from physical to nothingness. Well, that's not possible. You are eternal. So you'll go from a physical reality to a non-physical reality. You'll go from this dream, this illusion of physical reality, to the truth of what everything is. You'll know what everything is. You'll know who you are. You'll know how this whole system works. So death is an irrational fear as well. Now, you don't know that. You can't know that. You can have some evidence of that. You can watch near-death experiences of other people, know what they went through when they transitioned from the physical to non-physical and then came back to tell the story, transitioned back. You see, they never had a death experience. They had a transitional experience. Well, if death is not true, if death is an illusion, if no one's had an experience of death, then the fear of death is irrational, yet it's still pervasive.
It is.
You see? Well, so the fear of rejection is an irrational fear, but it's still pervasive. Now, you have possibly had a rejection experience where you perceived yourself as being rejected by another person.
Right.
Could have come when you were in an argument or when you broke up with a mate or when you were at the store and someone said something rude. You see? You've had these kind of experiences, but you've misinterpreted them. You've interpreted them to mean rejection. They were never rejection because they could never see who you are. They were just receiving urges to change the conditions, and you happen to be the condition, you see. You've never had a loss experience, but you think you've had a loss experience. You might have lost your money, lost a wallet, lost a friend, lost someone to death. These are all illusions. Because you are moving from one dimension into another dimension where these things were not necessary in the new dimension, you see. Or they were experiences that pointed out limiting beliefs, or they were experiences that pointed out beneficial beliefs, or whatever they were. Just because your laptop dies doesn't mean you lost your laptop. You are ready for a new laptop or no laptop at all for whatever you were exploring now. Now, you could have been exploring lack. And so obviously, to lose money like Gary did, that was part of this journey. He was exploring lack, exploring himself as a victim, exploring the inauthentic version of him. And from that experience of what he perceived to be loss came everything that he has now. So everything is working out. So the children will discover that there are no crocodiles there, that there is nothing scary in the dark, that they can do all kinds of things they're afraid to do now. That's part of this ascension process. So they will ascend into adults with the ability to leave behind those fears because those limiting beliefs have been filled with information. Yet there will be other limiting beliefs that they have, and they will face manifestation events to point out those limiting beliefs, actual events. And they'll have the opportunity to realize that there was just missing information, that limiting belief, and it was never true, and they could find evidence to prove those limiting beliefs were false all the time. They have the opportunity. Will they act on that opportunity? It depends on their pre-birth intentions and where they are in their ascension. You now, all of you now, can look at every single thing that you fear, every single thing you fear, and you can know for sure that everything you want is the other side of the fear. Let's take an example. Let's imagine that you go to the beach, but you're afraid of sharks. So you don't go into the water. Now, that fear of sharks is irrational. It's limiting. It just because someone had an encounter with a shark on the other side of the world 5 years ago doesn't mean that there's a shark now. Look at all the people in the water. Look at all those who are pushing past fear to do what they're inspired to do. You push past that irrational fear of being eaten by a shark because it's outrageously unlikely to happen, and you get to swim in the water, which you enjoy. You might be afraid of bears, and so you don't want to go in nature because you might happen upon a bear. And so you limit yourself from this being in nature, the thing that you love. You might not want to ride your bike because you've heard other people have been hit by cars. And so you don't ride your bike. But you do ride your bike, don't you?
I do.
And why are you able to push past the fear when so many other people cannot push past that fear?
This is what I tell people when I go kayaking with the sharks or the alligators or ride my bike. I say to myself, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. Yes. And that's what I say to my grandchildren when they're afraid. But I push them out of their comfort zone a lot, and but they seem to have all these irrational fears, and I just don't understand it.
And so all humans have these irrational fears. And if they can treat themselves like you treat your grandchildren, with encouragement and sincerity and comfort and a little nudging, they can push past all their fears just as you can push past all your fears. Wonderful question.
Thank you.
Who'd like to go next? Just jump on in. Think of some inspired question you're inspired to ask. It doesn't have to be important. It can be silly. Anything you want to ask.
I have one more question, yes. Jackson. Oh, yes. Okay. I'll go ahead first. In the design of physical reality, the creation of the structure, why does time factor into it at all, since it really isn't real?
Time would not factor into it if you lived forever. But because you have a finite lifespan, then you will have to do what you'll have to move. You'll have to do something. So you could create physical reality with no time. You could create physical reality with no need for humans to eat or breathe or drink or do anything. But what would they do if the human didn't have to breathe or drink or eat or sleep or worry about dying? What would the human do? The human would not do anything. There'd be no
experience. The human would exist in a pure state of love, which is what we would normally do anyways.
So which is no what point. You would do in the non-physical, right?
Right.
So now that you have these factors that make you get up and do something, you'll have experiences. And all of those experiences are expansive. Now, if you look at human history, most of those experiences, while there was a lot of love and a lot of community and a lot of dancing and joy, there was needing to survive, needing to hunt animals, pick berries, build shelters or find shelters, worry about the group, heal themselves, these sort of things. And all of that was experiences. And a lot of those experiences were based in pure joy, and a lot of them were placed in pure suffering. And so humans were moving from suffering to joy. Now, how did they do that? Well, they invented the fire, they invented the wheel, they invented culture and language and money and all these things, electricity, and now computers and the internet, all to move towards ease, towards more ease, more ease, more ease. And with the more ease, you had more time to think. You could think about math and language and the stars, geography. You could have adventures. You could travel the world. You could have friends in different places. You could meet strangers. You could do all these different things. More time to think. You could set up society and education and culture and arts and all these wonderful things that inspire, because now these things are coming not from this need to survive, this fear-based need to survive, but now they're coming from inspiration. So now humans are accessing, as they worry less about the day-to-day struggles of life, they're accessing higher vibrational ideas that were kept in wait for them to access when they became vibrationally ready for it. And so all these new inventions and technologies and entertainment and music and all these things are being accessed by those who are a vibrational match to them. Now, without time, you could say, well, I can do it tomorrow. I can do it the next day. But time creates deadlines. Time creates a reason to move. But humans still say, when they're inspired to do something, I can do it tomorrow. I can do it tomorrow. But you can't do it eternally tomorrow. At some point, you're going to have to do something, you see. So this is the impetus to do something now, in the moment. So time brings everything down to the moment.
Yeah, I just got that, like, this actual construct allows for the moment.
For the moment. And space is also in that construct. You see, because you'll have to move from here to there to go get your food, to go get your water, to go find shelter, to travel. You have to move from, you have to do something. And that moving is going from one dimension to another dimension. And that is the shift in experience. Now, that positive momentum, positive movement forward, positive exploration, that journey of self-discovery is receiving inspiration for you, specifically for you, to do something. That something will move you from one level of expansion to a higher level of expansion. And you have to do something, take some action, push past some fear to do it. You have to prove to the universe that you're ready to do it. And when you do it, you'll receive information that fills in a limiting belief. So the next time you do it, it's easier. Just think about the first time you bought a house. That first experience, having no experience buying the house, you had to push past all kinds of fear. You wanted the new house so much that you were willing to push past all the fear. And so you took all these action steps along the way, and maybe you chickened out along the way, and then you got back into it again, and you kept doing these action steps, and then you bought your home. And then the next time you bought a home, all the limiting beliefs that were existent before you bought your first home no longer apply, because you've done the action to buy that house. And so it's easier the next house and easier the next house and easier. And then it becomes so easy. It's like buying a cantaloupe at the store. It's no big deal. Well, this is true of anything you are inspired to do. Now, if you think you lack something, and so you make a plan or an urge to change the condition, and you are moved through fear to do these things, that action will not be satisfying, enjoyable, exciting, interesting. It'll be work, effort, and struggle. And so many humans are still stuck in this work. They're still going to this job and doing this thing because they lack money to pay their bills. And so they're sacrificing their time for money. And they're not having enough time to think. They're not meditating. They're not exercising. They're not doing yoga. They're not listening to things like this. They're not reading books and watching podcasts and listening, watching videos and listening to podcasts. They're just stuck in this rut of, I'm a victim. I lack money. I have to trade time for money. I'm in this job that I hate because it is the exploration of who they're not. Once they change that exploration, once they realize time is now to change this life, well, really, they have all the time in the world. And so time is so subjective, because if you're living this life that's unsatisfying and you're suffering through it and you're not having fun, then that seems like a long time, but it goes very quickly. When you're living this expansive high life, doing so many things, that in the moment time, because you're doing what you're passionate about, you're living in joy, goes very quickly, but the years go by slowly, very slowly. And you'll look back and you'll say, didn't we do that like 10 years ago? And you'll think, no, that was last year. I can't believe that was just last year. It seemed we've done so much and had so much fun and discovered so many things. In the moment, it goes quickly, but over time, see how relative it is? And so each of you have a different perception of time. And some of you think that 100 years is a long time, and those who have lived 100 years will say it went by like that. But what are you doing with the time in the moment? And if you can be living in joy in that time, it gives you a perspective that would not exist without time. And so time and space and every single other element of physical reality is there for one purpose and one purpose only: expansion. And you can either positively expand to who you truly are, or you can spin your wheels and explore who you're not as eternally, as long as you want. But eventually, everyone will get out of that wheel and on to their journey of self-discovery. Because every time they have a manifestation event, there is information there that will help them move to another expanded level. Excellent. Okay, we have time for one more quick question. Who is going to ask that last question?
Joshua.
Yes.
It was me.
Krista.
I just wanted to say two things. First of all, today a manifestation event happened and I didn't react for the first time for a really big one. And I was like, oh my God, it's love, right? So that's huge. I feel so proud of myself. Huge shift in things, like, oh, just amazing. And the question I have is, what can I do for my little 11-month-old baby and 12-year-old daughter to help them have fewer limiting beliefs and be like the best mom I can be when to help them grow?
You can be an example of alignment. That's all you can do for anyone. You mm-hmm. live in alignment. You don't live in fear. If you can okay. live in alignment, live in love, you'll know what to do in each moment. You couldn't know what to do tomorrow or the next day or the day after. You can only know what to do in the moment. Your communication is in that moment. You can have an idea for something right now. And if you act on that idea, you'll be moved into a completely new dimension. And then new ideas will come to you. If you choose not to act on that idea, then you're going to move into another dimension by not acting. So your choice here, you're in alignment, you receive inspiration, you take action, either in the moment or in the moments to follow, and you're moved into an expanded dimension. And then you have access to new ideas. So that when you are ready for making a decision with your children, you'll have the answer. It'll come to you. Now, if you choose not to take the action in the moment, you go into a different dimension. And that dimension will be one where you'll have to go through some expansion to get back into the other dimension. So we don't want to confuse this too much. We just want to say that in the moment of any experience, you'll have a choice. You'll have a choice to act in love or act in fear. That's all that will happen in every moment. If you can be this example of one who acts in love, knowing that everything is working out, that everything is happening perfectly, that you don't have to do anything different for your children, that they are here with their inner guides on their journey, and they chose you as their mother, you never have to worry about, will I make the right decision here? Will I make the wrong decision here? How can I be a better mother? you will either be in alignment or out of alignment. You'll either be a mother in alignment or a mother out of alignment. Either way, it's fine. As far as they're concerned, it's fine. You cannot mess it up. They're on their journey. They have all the tools they need. If they adopt a limiting belief because of something that you did, you did it for them so they can adopt that limiting belief. And they will have the time and the wherewithal to process their limiting beliefs. But imagine if you were living in love just 10% more of the time. You were in alignment just 10% more of the time. You received inspiration just 10% more of the time. You acted on that inspiration just 10% more of the time. Well, this would just be your environment of love. And this would be influencing them to some degree. Now, they may say, certainly not when they're young or babies, but at some point they may say, well, she's just woo-woo and she's just into rainbows and unicorns and all that stuff. I want to live my own life and figure this thing out. And then you let them figure it out. But they will always have the knowledge of what alignment is. They may not realize it at the time. They may want to explore their journey their way. And certainly, they're going to face their manifestation events. And when they face those manifestation events, it's not going to serve them for you to iron them out, for you to make things all right and good. Let them face their manifestation events as children, and they will build this resiliency so that they don't have to face those same manifestation events or even stronger ones when they're adults. We would say, have faith that they are guided by their inner self and that they do not need you to tell them what to do. Of course you will. Of course you will not want them screaming in a restaurant. Of course you want them to look both ways as they cross the road. You will stand up for certain things. But if you could be 10% less controlling with your own children, well, they'll figure out a little bit quicker. Maybe 10% quicker, maybe 20% quicker, but you have to understand that they chose you. They knew what they were getting into, and they couldn't have picked a better mom. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you,
thank
Joshua.
You, Joshua.
Thank you, Joshua.
Everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I really hope you enjoyed that episode. It was amazing, and there's so much stuff going on there. Loved all the questions. It was really incredible. If you'd like to learn more about Joshua, please visit theteachingsofjoshua.com. Joshua's first book is called A Perception of Reality. This really is the best way to get started. It's a fantastic book. You'll love it, and you can find that on Amazon. And thank you so much for supporting us as in what we're doing by liking and subscribing and sharing this podcast with your friends and all that. The podcast is growing very well, and it's all thanks to you. We do no advertising whatsoever. So thanks again for being here, and we'll see you next time. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.